Reverend Kathy Hearn has been a senior minister, the community spiritual leader for United Centers for Spiritual Living, currently the dean of the Holmes Institute of Ministerial and Consciousness Studies, wise woman, unconditional love and integrity, and most importantly, my minister. And I'm sharing her with you today. Please welcome the Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn.
Good morning. I said to Patty, way to make me cry when I just get up here. So I'm so very happy to be here. I haven't been at Vision for a while, not for lack of being invited. Thank you very much, but just scheduling and all those kinds of things. So it's very special to be here with you today, and I always love to come to Vision, first of all, because so many of us have a history together. Most of it I don't remember, so you're off the hook. But maybe you'll forgive me, too, for what you remember. But, you know, long times of relationships, so it's very precious. And I love always seeing what Reverend Patty is creating here, what she's doing with you. And so I know you have a move coming up. Yay! Let's hear it. Yay! I mean, the way it's coming down, it's got to be good, right? So I'm excited for you. So something's happening that's powerful and good. So, yay. So the talk for today is Mind the Gap. And this is a talk really about bringing coherence. Well, Paul said something back. Thanks for that great prayer, Paul. Talking about transmission of truth. That was amazing. But when we were praying before we came out, he said something about getting the facts and the truth together, or the truth of his being and the facts together. And that's what this talk is about today, to get the truth of our being and the facts of our life together. So I wanted to start with a teaching that comes out of the Vedic teachings, the ancient teachings of India, and it's the teaching of Indra's net. And if you've known me for a while, you know I love this teaching. But the story is that the great god Indra, first of all, emerged in human consciousness about 3,000 years ago, because that's what gods do. They emerge in our consciousness, in human consciousness. And the story of Indra is that he lives at the top of Mount Meru, which is the most sacred mountain in the Vedic philosophy. And around his home, he cast this beautiful, cosmic, infinite, glittering net that went out in all directions across time and space. And at the place where the lines of the net came together, I always see a gold net, but you can have it be any way you like because it's your visualization. At the place where the lines of the net come together, he hung a beautiful jewel, one jewel for every soul. But I like to think of one jewel for everything in creation. And so if you can imagine this infinite, beautiful net with these jewels hanging from it. And the understanding here is that each one of us is a jewel on the net. And that you are a unique, beautiful, glittering, multifaceted jewel. You can decide right now what yours looks like. And that you have been placed on the net in exactly the right place based in your individuality and what you are here to contribute. And so this is a teaching about dharma, or that who you are becomes what you do, and that there's this beautiful, deep relationship between the being that you are and the doing that you're here to do, and what is your contribution to life. And so the understanding in dharma is that our job is just to be utterly the jewel that we are. Nothing more, nothing less. That's your job, is to be the jewel that you are on the net and to hold up your piece of the net where you're placed in life by doing what is yours to do, by living the life that is yours to live. Do you like that? Say yes. Okay, good. So I would ask you, and Shana sang it so beautifully, what is in your heart about your life? What is in your heart about your life? What is that whisper that you hear in your heart that speaks to you about what you desire, what you aspire to, what you want to be, what you want to accomplish, what you want to attain? What is in your heart about your life? Maybe just feel into that for a minute. Without thought of how or when or any of it, just what's in your heart about your life. The poet David White, who I like so much, a couple years ago was doing a talk for one of our organizational conferences. And he said that whenever we want to be, do, have, grow, accomplish, attain, you know, bring something new into being, that in the contemplation of that, we actually send some of our energy forward so that a part of us actually stands in the place of the fulfillment as already done. And it calls back to the rest of us at the line, at the beginning line of where we are, and says, come this way, walk this way. And so whatever is in your heart about your life right now today, just feel that a part of you has already gone ahead and it stands there. It's you made it. You're there. And that all there is in the distance, all there is a distance, a territory to be crossed between where you are and that point of fulfillment. And we want to bring some attention to that distance today, calling it the gap. It is the distance between who we say we are and how we're living. It's the distance between what we say is really important to us but what we actually give our time to. It's the distance between what you practice and what you preach. And not only ministers have to look at that. What you practice and what you preach. It's the distance between what you say is most important about your life and what you're actually embodying. To look at this stuff, to look at the gap, by the way, is deeply personal work. This is not the time to jab your partner or your neighbor next to you and say, boy, I've been trying to get you to look at this for a really long time. She's saying it, yay. So it's, you know, turn that elbow in, because this is deep personal work. It's not about inventorying your friend or your partner at all. But we want to mind the gap. We want to mind the gaps, and why do we want to do that? Well, let me tell you where the phrase comes from. So my friend and colleague, Wendy Craig Purcell, who's the Unity minister here in town, was with her family in London. And in the tube station in London, which is the underground, there are signs that say, mind the gap. Have any of you seen those there? And what they mean is watch the distance between the train that you're on and the platform you're about to step onto, and don't fall into the gap. Okay, now, Deepak Chopra has another whole other thing about the gap. I'm not talking about his gap. I'm talking about our gap. So it's in other words, don't get caught in that space where you have no footing at all. And so Wendy was saying that she loved the phrase, and she began to look at the gaps in her life between just the places where there's a disconnect or a difference between what she values and how she's living. And she was starting to close the gap. And she got me thinking about it, about the gaps that I need to close. I've been working on food mainly right now. And I thought it was really a powerful topic. And so why is this important to do, to close the gap? Well, first of all, you know, Gandhi said, my life is my message. My life is my message. And that is true for each one of us, that the way we live is the message that we're giving to the world. And that's important not only for our circle, the people that we share our life with, because we're really broadcasting what our true message is by the way that we live. I think it's also important for us as people in our spiritual philosophy that we're actually here to model spiritual living. Vision is a center for spiritual living. You are a center for spiritual living, and so am I. And so we're here to live a spiritually based life, which means a principle-based life that calls us to be coherent and cohesive. I don't know about you, but I was raised with the parental statement, don't do as I do, do as I say. Did any of you have my mom? God bless her. You know, I know what she meant by that. I know what she meant. And I'm tempted to say it to my kids sometimes too. She meant that she wanted something more for me than she had created for herself. And she could see the gap in her own life. She didn't have the words for that. But you know, even as a kid, there was something about that that did not fly for me. I couldn't put it into words, but I knew that something was off about that. Because it's what we do that models what we believe. And it's what we do that models reality for and really our broadcast of message for our kids. And so there's been a lot of things I've had to handle in my life, and some of them had to do with what my mom did that I took on, not what she said I should do. So, interesting. Bless you, Mom. So, that's the first thing, that our life is our message. What is the message that you're giving to your life, to life, by the way you're living? And is that the message you want to give? And again, personal inventory here. The second thing is that we're called to realize our place on the net of life. We're called to realize the truth of our being and where we've been placed and how we can contribute. And that can be in some grand and glorious, huge way, creating something that never existed before. And it could be as simple as, you know, I'm called to be more loving every day. Doesn't size, scale, does not matter. It's about authenticity and truth. And I have this thought that when we actually realize our place on the net, when we realize the truth of our being and all of our uniqueness and individuality, and we start making the contribution that we're called to make, that we're actually supporting the evolution of life on the planet itself. That we're actually supporting the evolution of life. And that thing that whispers in your heart about what you are to do is exactly life longing to express itself through you, saying, do this. I want to give myself through you this way. And so there's something so much bigger than that's going on than just our own individual life. It's really about what our contribution is to the entire net and how we actually support the evolution of life. Life is evolving itself right here, right now, in you. No other place. We're it. We're at the pinnacle of evolution. I know it doesn't always look like that. But we are, because we're the ones conscious of our Creator, and life is evolving itself through our consciousness. So it's about letting life give of itself through you in ways that evolve life itself. The third thing is that we're called to be more congruent, to really start being who we say we are and who we truly want to be. In Paul's prayer, I heard there is no limitation, there is no barrier, there is no wall, there is no blockage, there's nothing going on but spirit. So the truth is, whatever you can aspire to, you're already there. And that's really all you have to know about today. And the other thing, and so what would that change be? You know, I spend time at Seaside Center for Spiritual Living now because that's where my job is, my ministerial dean job. And Seaside has for a long time been a green organization. And they made a huge decision to stop giving out plastic water bottles. And I received one here today, and I'm so very grateful. And I will use it until it falls to pieces. We'll reuse it. That's my only agreement I can make about plastic. And also no more paper plates. And so when there's an event at Seaside, there are amazing volunteers who wash the dishes, you know. And, of course, there's an issue about water and, oh, God, on and on and on. The complications, on and on the complications go. And I'm only speaking to that as an example of how it is that we can close a gap. That was important for that organization, and they've been closing a gap in that way. And so in that way, there's more energy for available for other things than feeling badly about what is being done. So closing the gap is not about guilt and shame. I have a ministerial colleague who said, oh, those are so old school. And I agree with her. The guilt and shame are old school. They're from another philosophy that we don't practice. We don't teach about guilt and shame except it's something to get over, you know, and move beyond, because they're life-denying. I don't know that I've ever felt assisted by an episode of guilt or shame, ever. I may have had something to look at, but after about two seconds, it's done. So it's about getting over those things. We do not, in our philosophy, have a cosmic punisher that stands at a high place and throws down thunderbolts when we have a gap. In fact, one of my favorite teachings of Ernest Holmes, this was one of the things that hooked me when I first came into the study, was we are not punished for our mistakes, but by them. We are not punished for our mistakes, but by them. In fact, Ernest Holmes says this. He says, the nature of God is revealed as infinite tenderness coupled with exact law. The nature of God is revealed as infinite tenderness coupled with exact law. There is no sin but a mistake, and no punishment but an inevitable consequence. So no punisher on high getting ready the thunderbolts. But the gaps that we have their own consequences. And that when we are living at a distance from our truth, we know it. And other people may see us only in the highest truth of our being, but we ourselves know when we have a gap between what is really true for us and how we're living. And so power comes to us and energy comes to us when we're willing to close that gap. So minding the gap is about personal responsibility, first of all, for your own life. And it's about accountability, first of all, to yourself and to your life and to your wholeness and to your place on the net and to what you're called to do. It's our own personal accountability. And it's this beautiful understanding that spirit moves through us to willing to do all that needs to be done. You know, Ernest Holmes says there's a power for good in the universe and you can use it. And that's the mental science part of our philosophy. But this other side of it is there's a power for good in the universe and it can use you. And it wants to use you for its expression, for the evolution of life itself on the planet. So you take a breath and so will I. So if we look at the gap, any kind of gaps that we have, what we will see that's in the way are merely the fabrications of thought. They are the questions, the doubts, the fears, the false beliefs, the judgments, the thoughts, I can't do this. And yet they're only the things of thought. And anything thought has done, thought can undo. You can always trace down an erroneous, a negative thought to its erroneous beginning. And there is powerful work always to do to release those kinds of things. We don't have to be living out of those anymore. But they are the things that diminish our willingness to take the next step because we're afraid, because we think it won't work, we've done it before, you know, on and on and on, those ideas. But to be willing to face those things and to take just the next indicated step in your life, that's all that's required is just the next step. You know, by the way, this is a small digression. There was this great ad on TV for Nutri-Grain bars. And this was transformative for me. TV was finally transformative for me. And in the scenario of the ad, there's a woman who passes by the bakery shop on the way to work, and she pulls out of her purse a Nutri-Grain bar. I see a nodding head. She pulls out of her purse a Nutri-Grain bar, and she eats that instead of some, you know, luscious pastry. And when she gets to work, she instead of taking the elevator, she takes the stairs. And then when she's sitting at the desk, she passes up the pizza that everybody's having, you know, and she pulls out a salad or whatever it is that she was eating. And the line in the ad is, one good decision leads to another. One good decision leads to another, and that's all that it takes. It's just the next decision to close the gap, one step at a time. And you see, when we're willing to do that, it builds in us a kind of discipline. It builds in us a strength to actually walk through what is a little bit difficult, but for a greater reward than what we've had before. And David White says that if we don't do that, we set up a holy jihad within ourselves. We set up a holy war within ourselves. And that there can be disintegration, really, between the parts of us, the part of us that wants to be whole, happy, and free, and the other part of us that's clinging to the thought of, I can't do this. We set up a disintegration. Who wants that? That's not what we're about. So it is about just step by step taking the next step. There's a beautiful saying, I'm not sure who said it, but that we achieve the humanly impossible by leaning into the divinely possible. We achieve what seems to be the humanly impossible by identifying with the divinely possible. And we say, in God, all things are possible. And this divine possibility resides within you. There is no limit except the ones that you accept. There are no limitations except the ones that we accept. And it is always possible to have a thought of something greater than what we've been experiencing. That's why we're called the New Thought Movement. It's always possible to have a new thought about what is possible and set that as an intention and a goal and take the steps. It's always possible to realize that a part of you has already gone ahead. The mere fact that you could contemplate a greater good than you've had or something that you want to aspire, a part of you already stands there. And it's just waiting. You know, it's saying, come on, I'm ready for you. Bring it on. And yet the intention or the what's necessary is just to stay focused, to keep the eye on the goal, as we would say, to take one step at a time. So let's say this affirmation, and Paul said this. I'm just repeating what Paul said today. This talk was just for Paul, for Paul and Shana, what they already brought forward. So please repeat after me. The only presence active in my life is love. The only presence active in my life. The only power active in my life is good.
And
we're going to say both of those two more times. The only presence active in my life is love. Let's do it all together now. The only presence active in my life is love. The only power active in my life is good. And one more time. The only presence active in my life is love. The only presence active in my life is good. So it's about keeping your eyes on the place that you want to go and feeling the pull of that greater possibility and then taking the next indicated step. And, you know, there's a very beautiful teaching in the New Testament about Jesus walking on the water. And the scenario is that he had just done a huge teaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he had gone off. I think he was an introvert. He always had to go away to get his energy restored. So he went off, you know, to have some time alone, and the disciples who were with him went out in a boat on the sea. Have any of you been to the Sea of Galilee? It's really a huge lake, but well, they call it a sea. And so the disciples went in the boat, and the wind came up, a storm came up, and the wind was whipping the waves, and the men in the boat were afraid, and they cried out. They cried out. And all of a sudden, from the distance, they see this figure walking across the water to them. And I was in the Canterbury Cathedral one time, and they were doing this story. And it was so powerful because you could hear this singing voice come from way in the far reaches of the church coming forward. It was just really powerful. But anyway, so they see this figure walking on the water. And as he gets closer, they realize it's Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, is it really you? And Jesus said, step out of the boat. And so Peter steps out of the boat and takes the hand of Jesus. And as long as he keeps his eyes focused on his teacher, his master, he stays above the water. But the minute the waves come up and he gets afraid, he starts to sink. And Jesus grabs his hand again and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I don't know if Jesus literally walked on the water. I can't tell you that he did that, although I love the story, but it has metaphysical truth to it. And the metaphysical truth is that when we keep our eyes focused on the high truth, on that which calls us, on that which guides us, on that which is that whisper in our heart, or the high truth of spirit, or the truth of our own being, when we keep our eyes on that, we will stay up above the water, so to speak, which is really the prevailing psychic stuff of life. But the minute that we doubt, we start to sink, and yet we can always come back up by what it is that we give our attention to. There's a beautiful statement from Rumi. He says, let yourself be silently drawn by the stronger pull of what you truly love. Let yourself be silently drawn by the stronger pull of what you truly love. It is in the gap that we meet our doubt. And yet there's a lovely statement, big doubt, big enlightenment. Just like big crucifixion, big resurrection. So sometimes when it's the most excruciating and the hugest level of doubt, hold on, keep focused, because the big enlightenment is right around the corner. And whatever we give our attention to, whatever we contemplate, that is what we become. Whatever gets the most of your attention, that is what you become. So let's take a moment and close our eyes. So take a nice deep breath. And I invite you just to breathe into your heart center. As you feel the wheel of the breath in and out, which is the beautiful symbol of the circulation of life itself, the give and take of all things. letting the center of that circle, excuse me, which is the heart of God, meet with your own heart center, and realizing as you breathe there, you meet the indwelling presence, your higher wisdom self, your inner guide that sees with the eye of the heart, that is also the eye of wisdom and the eye of love. And just ask this inner guide to guide you now. Just say, guide me now. And just take a moment to feel what is in your heart about your life. And what is the one thing that's present or that is arising for you today that your heart truly desires? Without judgment, without evaluation of it, just claim it. Just see it for what it is. See what it is. And now imagine yourself going to that place that part of you has already gone ahead, that stands in the place of fulfillment. So imagine yourself already in the moment of fulfillment of that very thing that you wish to be or do or have or create. It could be a business, a relationship, a healing, an art project, transformation in a relationship. It could be anything that's deeply true for you. So take a moment to feel yourself already standing in that place, in the joy, in the satisfaction, in the sense of job well done, in the full creation of whatever it is. And just put your hand on your heart for a moment and anchor it there. And leave a part of you standing in that place of fulfillment and absolute joy, and come back to where you are also right now. This is probably the only time I'll let you seem dualistic. And so as you stand in your life right now, looking ahead to that place of fulfillment, what is the next indicated step for you to take? What is the one thing that needs to be done, that needs to be released, that needs to be communicated, brought into being, birthed, whatever it might be? See just the next step. And feel yourself take the step that is required. And so it is in this awareness that I give thanks for our time together today, this opportunity to acknowledge any gaps that we have between the high truth of our being and where we are in our life right now. And so I know and accept absolutely that Spirit is the power that does the work, that out of our intention, each and every step that we take is met and guided by Spirit absolutely for the greatest good, that Spirit within us, the truth within us, guides us to the goal. And so I give thanks for this, and I release this word knowing it is done. And if you agree with me, please say, and so it is. So open up your eyes. Know that it only takes one day at a time, one step at a time, the next indicated step. And how powerful it would be, and what a message it would be, if each and every one of us continued to move in the direction of our greatest fulfillment and greatest good. And all we have to do is mind the gap. Thanks.